We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast is brought to you by Aspers Casino Newcastle, home of the Mag's £4 pint, available on all draft beers for all NUFC home and televised games, 12 p.m. to 12 a.m. Over 18s only. Visit begambleaware.org, be drinkaware. For details and T's and C's, visit aspersnewcastle.co.uk. It's your True Faith Newcastle United podcast. Newcastle embarrassed at the Emirates 4-1 to Arsenal away on Saturday night. Here to dissect what the fuck happened, it's me, Charlotte, joined by Si Campbell, Ben Wade and Johnny Greenwood, special guest. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We're recording morning after the night before. Pretty terrible game, pretty awful first half, certainly. Si, that looked like the performance of a team that draws home games with Luton and Bournemouth. Are we just average now? Are we not that good? We're not class.
In a word, yes, sort of. maybe not average, but we're not one of the top four sides in the league by some distance. And I think that's that last night was a kind of reminder of how far we are from that in terms of consistency. Arsenal are streets ahead of us, so it's a really funny one to try and get. I don't want to get too carried away about losing it at the Emirates. Most teams are going to go at the Emirates and lose this season. They're actually in a really good run of form. Coming into this, we were worried they'd scored 22 in the last five games. Like this wasn't a good time to play Arsenal anyway. Frustrating because we were starting to hit a bit of form and our away form has actually been really good this year. So it's disappointing that it was as bad as it was. But yeah, I think it is a bit of a reality check. I think we have to remember that last season we finished fourth, and actually the last four times we've played Arsenal, we've won twice, drawn one, and only lost the home game last season. Although you could argue that we only got 1 point from the league games against Arsenal last season, so we're doing better this year to beat them. Yeah, it's a real funny one because I just don't think, I didn't think the drop-off would be as big. We all started this season thinking, yeah, it's going to be a tough one. We've got Champions League football. We've got, you know, a squad that might be able to handle that, but it's going to be tough, and we can't expect to get anywhere near the top four and manage all those other competitions. And we just didn't want to believe it, did we? We wanted to believe that we could still fight on all fronts and that we'd done enough in the summer. And this is probably about as bad as we could have imagined it in terms of the league form just isn't coming together, and it's starting to look like we're going to finish like between 8th and 10th. Which someone has said is absolutely fine, given that we got fourth last season and it was ahead of schedule, and the Champions League group and everything else. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, yes, we are. I think we're not a top four side, and I think the players that we have in this squad did brilliant last season. They were playing above themselves, and there's some questions around last season. We won games like this from intensity alone, from wanting it more, and we didn't see any of that last night. And I'm sure there's reasons we want to get into about why that was, but that's the most worrying thing about this. I thought, you know, a better team will beat you on their day, and that's okay. But the intensity and the lack of kind of wanting to win the game was the most worrying thing about last night, because it felt a bit half-assed. So I suppose that's where I'm at.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? Like, maybe we didn't go into that game expecting to win, but I didn't expect to see the performance that we saw. And there were all these previous mitigations, but they don't really work anymore. We had a reasonable bench. We had options. We have not got tired legs. We're not playing three games a week. Ben, what did you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, that first half was as bad as I've seen Newcastle and Eddie Howe. And Si's point about who the obviously opposition were, obviously they're in great form and they are a tough side to play, but I don't expect Newcastle to go there and kind of wave a white flag from minute one and get pinned back in their own final third for basically 45 minutes of the game, which is what it was. We've got better players than that. I mean, for fuck's sake, Bruno Guimarães has been kind of hailed as potentially going to Real Madrid, and that they'll come up against teams that are going to kind of come and put pressure on them a lot more, and they should be able to react to that better. And at least on the pitch, I think the decision making, they should be able to work out how to beat a high press when when you look up and everyone in front of you is marked, like, don't pass the ball straight. Three players around there. I think as well, you've got to look at, you kind of mentioned about the options on the bench. I mean, we've talked about a lot about the state of the midfield at the minute, and it's not fair that I said last time it was like eighth choice. They're probably like fifth and sixth choice midfielders that we could put out there, but they aren't. I mean, it's a 17-year-old playing his first proper season, and then Shaw Longstaff, who game is not about getting on the ball.
He wasn't there, was he? Oh, no, he was.
I think he showed his face a couple of times. But no, it's just that they're just not equipped or technically equipped to play in a game like that when you literally have two or three players around you all the time. And it made it kind of exposed a few people. I think, obviously, I think the defence, I mean, we were talking about it in the podcast as the game was going on, the defence just looked exposed because all of a sudden Shaw and Botman, who we've all hailed as they're incredible on the ball, looked very, very shaky, were panicking, kept giving the ball away. And it just wasn't what I expect. Newcastle, this far along in the journey, we're a Champions League side this season, we shouldn't be going up against another Champions League side and looking so bad. So it was really frustrating. I think we did get better in the second half a little bit. Obviously, there were things that we tried. I mean, we got into their half as starters. I mean, that was huge.
Massive.
I literally was fist pumping when Isak went through and didn't get his shot off, but he did later on. But it was just, yeah, I think it shows the levels, and I suppose we'll come on to it, but I guess that's one of the things how I think probably need to be wary of is that we look so far off the top three in terms of being able to go away from home and put in credible performances. I mean, you think about we've had batterings now at Liverpool, Arsenal, and even the Man City game, we literally didn't lay a glove on them.
Spurs as well.
Yeah. And Spurs, we've got a battering as well. So there's concerns there. And yeah, it was a bad night.
Yeah, it was a really bad night. I can't really disagree with anything that's been said so far. I think Arsenal had a bit of a bee in the bonnet. I think you could tell that after Newcastle beating them in November, and they had
mentioned it in his post-match thing, didn't he? Which is bizarre to say. Oh, we had a bit of revenge on the mind. It was like months ago. Yeah. Like, get over it.
I feel like Arsenal fans are a bit of a different breed when it comes to sort of situations like that. But you can't disagree with how good they were. They pressed from the high press. We just couldn't cope with it. It was almost when what we've been accustomed to with Newcastle United and Eddie Howe Newcastle United, and it's great to watch when you put teams under pressure, but we could not get out of essentially our own half for the whole game, and it was just so frustrating to watch. I don't think we really made three passes unless Fabian Scher and Sven Botman were passing to each other, and that was literally about it. And then, as Ben rightly says, we try and make that pass into midfield, and either the pass was a little bit weak or Longstaff was guilty of losing it. Bruno had too many players near him and he had to play it back. We just couldn't get out, and it was just suffocating us, and it was really difficult. Like, I do take Si's point about the fact that it was a bad time to play Arsenal in terms of the Premier League form, but they had just lost in the last minute in the Champions League. You might have thought, actually, can we actually have a go at them in the first 20 minutes if they're not up for it? Man City have just beaten Bournemouth, Luton have just beaten Luton. They're in the title race, but they look like a team that were in the title race. They look like a team, actually, you know, we're going to smell blood. We want to make sure we're still competing. But for Newcastle, it was just a calamity. Like I was thinking of the Benny Hill theme tune at some point, because it was literally like that. It was just really deflating to watch in all areas of the football pitch.
I think for me, it was just, it's this like complete lack of intensity. You touched on it there, Si. It was watching particularly that first half, and yes, there was a little bit more. We got into the half in the second half, and there was a little bit more urgency, and some of our subs came on, and we obviously managed to claw one goal back eventually. But that, and I am talking about the first half. What the hell, like, was the plan? Because we showed no bite, no spice. This is a team that was praised for their shithousery only a season ago, less than a season ago, because we were still doing it right up to the end of the season. It feels like all of our spice and all of our flavoring. Yeah, just anything. What's the word I want? Like all
seasoning.
Seasoning. Yeah, all of our seasoning. The Sean Longstaff, the bay leaf. We it just felt like there was nothing. There was no want there in that first half, and I don't understand what the plan was.
Agreed. It's a funny one, because like Johnny says, they were way more up for this game.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we played them at home 2 years ago, it felt like we wanted it more, and we beat them 2-0. And even this season, the 1-0 felt like we wanted it more, and we snatched the victory from them in what was quite a tight game. We didn't look at all up for it compared to them. And yes, they've got this weird kind of, they've decided where they're rivals now, which is really strange. And yeah, they need to get over that. But they also, like I said before, we'd won two, drawn one of the last four. You know, they actually needed to beat us because we were becoming a bit of a bogey team for them. So they absolutely were more motivated for this than we were, which is weird. The funny thing is that we don't really have any rivals in this league, do we? So we don't have any games where we get really up for it. Man U a little bit. We always get up for those games. But generally speaking, we don't have anyone that we think, oh, we really want to do these. Whereas Arsenal have decided that we're that team for them now. We need that. We need fixtures that are a bit spicy to get us up for it, because this definitely benefited them. They were up for it and we didn't know what to do, because they just came at us and they were on it. Like, it wasn't just the kind of intensity in the pressing. Their passing was really crisp and accurate. It was really killer. Like, we just, when we lost the ball, five or six passes between Arsenal players and they were just in. They'd cut out half our team, and it was really accurate, really quick, really like dangerous. Whereas when we got the ball, we struggled to find Newcastle players, and that I put that a little bit down to motivation, a little bit down to confidence. But when the intensity is so far apart from two teams, it just became what that first half was, which felt like an Arsenal training exercise. Like, how many goals can they score and how many times can they get in? Because we were just like, it's like we've been set up, like, just try and see what happens, lads. You play in your own half, you're not allowed out your own half. And it was so weird to watch, and so un Eddie Howe like.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of the point you're getting at, is it's the aggression factors doesn't seem to be there, does
Aggression's maybe the word I wanted.
And if you look at the personnel, I mean, we're missing some huge characters in Joe Linton's, probably the main one, who just goes around and just smashes into everyone and everything and is just an absolute menace and does not give a fuck. Like, he is a huge miss and a huge character within the team. And I think if you look at kind of, I mean, we'll get onto it, but I suppose Byrne is another player. And I know I'm not kind of saying he should be playing from now on, but... he is a player that will kind of rough teams up and show a bit of physicality. Shaw and Botman are those players, but just couldn't get near anyone for numerous reasons. And even Bruno has a bit of that in him, but obviously has been told by absolutely no circumstances put any tackles in whatsoever. Yeah. So you end up with the likes of a young Tino coming in. and I thought he did okay. But in terms of the midfield, you've got 17-year-old Miley and Sean Longstaff, who are nice lads. They're not the type of people that are going to... I mean, we've been crying about them not putting any tackles in. Like, Dodsey's having a sleepless night.
he was so excited at the beginning of the game because Miley put in two tackles. Yeah. It's like heart eyes.
Exactly. And yet they're not the type of players that you need to go into these kind of games to get stuck into teams. And I think that's where we're probably struggling a bit as well. I think Willock obviously came off the bench and we'll get onto that, but I feel like he's got a bit about him. At least he'll kick players and stuff like that. So we've got players coming back that can turn this around for us, but I think in this, as we are at the minute in this current situation, we just don't really have the personnel to play the type of football that Eddie Howe wants to do. And that is a big concern, because he hasn't kind of tried to adapt or move away from that. So I think there's questions around kind of what is the plan here, and we didn't see one against Arsenal, did we?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. But I've never said this about Eddie Howe, but it just seemed like he didn't have any sort of plan at all. And that is not Eddie Howe at all. I think you always feel like, regardless if we've got 3 days to prepare for a game or 7 days to prepare for a game, you know what the plan has been in the week. And there was no plan whatsoever. And that was really, really frustrating. I think there's been speculation whether we were going to play five at the back and Dan Byrne was going to be a third centre-half. Wouldn't have been against that with Tina being left back. Whether or not that changed last minute, who knows? We don't know. But it would have at least made it a little bit more difficult for Arsenal, and it made it probably a little bit more easier for us, because we would have had some sort of game plan to kind of go against Arsenal. But the biggest concern, I know we conceded from two set pieces for two completely different goals in terms of how it both went in the back of the net, But the second goal was the one that concerned me the most. No press. Jorginho was allowed the whole time to do whatever he wants. Botman doesn't see his man over his shoulder. And I think, I can't remember who it was that played the pass now, but no one's watching Havertz. There's only one player in that box. Martinelli making the cross. Yeah. No one's watching. It's just really basic. It seemed like a really good goal from an Arsenal point of view, but when you actually watch it back and you see what Newcastle were doing, it was just a case of, right, we'll just kind of see what happens a little bit. And it's just not an Eddie Howe team, and really, really poor for Newcastle in all departments. But that's probably the most surprising element.
We were just nowhere near them. It wasn't even like, yeah, we've been talking for weeks about, like, can Miley and Longstaff not just make a few tactical fouls and be a bit more aggressive and the aggression point? But we weren't anywhere near. We weren't even close enough to make a tackle, never mind to make a foul. Like last year, I think in the 0-0, we got like 6 or 7 yellows. Like it was that kind of game. Player got booked last night. I don't remember us making a tackle, never mind a foul. It just felt like we weren't, not only were we yards away from them, but we didn't seem that arsed about being yards away from them. There was no desire to change that until maybe like the last 50 minutes when Willock came on. We finally found a little bit of energy at the most pointless time in the game when it's completely gone at 4-0. But yeah, something really weird about that performance. It wasn't Eddie Howe-like at all. And I totally agree, Johnny. I don't know what the plan was first half. Like, was it to sit in and hang on? Because yes, the first goal was pretty unfortunate. It was a weird own goal and it bundled in off three different Newcastle players. But you can't say it wasn't coming. Mm-hmm. Like, we hadn't been out of our own box at that point. It was just Arsenal, Arsenal, Arsenal. So the goal was coming eventually anyway. The way it came wasn't orthodox, but I don't know what we were trying to do. And I'm sure Eddie Howe was as frustrated as we were watching, because I'm sure that wasn't the plan. But I'd love him to tell us what it was.
It was to sit in, I just don't understand the team selection then. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. But we will get into team selection in part two. Before we do that, anybody want to make a positive case for this team?
Joe Willock coming back was a real positive. Mm. The goal was a really good goal.
Yes.
I'm done.
That's it.
Wasn't it our first goal at the Emirates in like 10 years?
Yes,
that's right.
In the league.
That's right.
Yeah, so that's nice.
Also, they haven't conceded a goal at the Emirates in seven. They've scored 17 since they last conceded a goal.
These are all really positive.
Loads, yeah.
Loads of positives.
We'll do a whole podcast on this. Positives from the Arsenal game.
Yeah, I do think Joe would have come back. You saw in just even the little bits that he came on. I know the game was stretched a little bit because we were, obviously it was already over by that point, but it was good to see him back. It was good to see him getting involved, and it was nice to see that actually I want to make an impact against my former club who are going for the title, who actually, you know, can I try and get into that sort of conversation. It was really good to see, and we will need him in the next few games because there's no doubt that Bruno's going to get booked. And just one little thing on Bruno, even though he's still playing better than all our midfielders, you can still see he's a little bit off because he is scared. He's afraid to put that challenge in.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be suspended for two games. I was almost at the point yesterday, do you know what? It might even just be the best thing. If one of those games is the FA Cup, just getting booked. So he kind of has that off the back a little bit because it's
getting
strange.
I don't think it is though, is it? I think it's just league games, isn't it?
I don't know. I just assumed it was if you get booked, it's suspended for the next two games. I don't know.
I think it's domestic FA Cup.
Oh, is it? Okay. Maybe that would have been the one.
Yeah, I just think if that is the case, if one of the games is Blackburn, with the greatest of respect, we should be beating Blackburn regardless of who's playing in that midfield, then sacrifice it for just one Premier League.
I'm no longer confident.
We've been talking about this so much because obviously we're going to say how important that Blackburn game is now. If we don't win that game, all hell's going to break loose, isn't it?
There's going to be riots in the town. There's going to be riots in the town. We'll leave it there for part one, I think, and get into team selection and individual performances for part two. If you're enjoying this and you don't want to hear adverts, you can join us on Patreon. It's between £3 and £8 a month. There's tons of additional content on there. Including sort of the run-up to Blackburn. Si and Ben will be at Blackburn bringing you a match day podcast or something like that from it. So please do think about joining us. Surprise, you have to do that work. So please do consider joining us on there. We'll be back after these messages.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Part two of the show, and we've kind of tried to make sense of what the plan was, if there was a plan. But if there was a plan, how did the team selection fit into it? Obviously, there were some changes made yesterday. We've all been calling for a change at that left-back position, and we saw Tino come in. Isak was back, and we had a slightly stronger bench as well. Ben, what did you make of it?
Yeah, I thought, we've already kind of touched on it in the previous part about the... It was an interesting... game to make that change in, just in terms of I thought we would go five at the back, and we saw how well that worked against Villa, for example, when kind of that game seemed to be turning. He made that sub to bring Tuna on, kept Burn on, and kind of eyebrows were raised, I suppose, at that point, but it worked really well. And I thought this might be a game where you can potentially do that. I understand that they probably were thinking how we're going to get the ball out and things like that, but I just think the state of the midfield at the minute, and I keep labouring the point, but it's just not a Premier League quality midfield, especially to go away in an environment like the Emirates, where they've got high press and everything. That was probably the game to kind of try something a little bit different. And if we saw what we got last night. We got hammered 4-1, and it wasn't pretty to kind of stick with that approach when we don't really have the personnel to do it. I think is starting to grind a bit and get a bit frustrating, because we've seen this kind of type of performance a few times, and that Liverpool game, for example, we had the same issue where we were trying to play the ball at the back and we just couldn't get the ball into the midfield or into the attack and kind of get out, and what we ended up doing in that was going long to Dan Byrne, putting Dan Byrne up on Trent Alexander-Arnold and going and winning some headers, and it actually did get us out a couple of times. Obviously, we didn't have that... yesterday with the Tino coming in. I think Tino's performance, just quickly touch on that, I thought he did solid. Obviously, he gets beaten for, I think it's the third goal for Saka. Let's give them a little bit of credit. Three cheers for Saka. They are very good players. Like, he's going to get beat his man once or twice. The frustrating thing for me was that we had three players around him at that point and nobody else helps.
That happened several times.
And it's a point, I think, when it goes back to the point you were making about the midfield and about what the plan was and stuff, you look at Longstaff, Miley and Bruno, and they kind of sit in a three constantly. And I saw a number of times where Declan Rice turned himself into like a number 10 last night because he was allowed to, basically. And he would just run off the midfield and go and literally sit in between Shaw and Trippier. Martinelli would kind of hug the touchline, and Trippier basically had two players, and it was like, what do I do here? Miggy was nowhere to be seen, and Longstaff was nowhere to be seen. They just weren't paying any attention to players running in behind them, and I just thought that was really, really bizarre. So, again, for me, I think when you're talking about the team position, that is a massive need, that we need someone that's got a little bit of bit of nous in the head to actually think, oh, should I go in, mark that really good player that's worth 100 million that's just ran behind us? I just think it's one of those things. It'll be interesting. I'd love to know what the plan is there in terms of why we're keeping that kind of rigid three in a line, because they don't put any pressure on the ball. I mean, we said it. Jorginho had the freedom at the Emirates last night. He literally, I can't remember anyone really going and kind of putting him under any pressure. And he is, that's probably his strength, is that he's a great passer of the ball, and he just had so much space to pick. So yeah, it was a frustrating setup, I think, and obviously the change that we made didn't really help to kind of stem any of what they did to us. So yeah, it didn't really work.
In terms of the change, before we get into individuals, and I guess we were touching on individuals, Johnny, we brought Tino in. It's a change a lot of people have been calling for, as I said. Put Tino in left back, bring Dan Burn off for a bit. Do you think this was the fairest game to put him to sort of, I mean, people have been calling for it for like games ago, not the big game against Arsenal where they're obviously like smelling blood.
Yeah, look, I think it was a lose-lose for Tino really, because do you want to be on the bench or do you want to be starting against Arsenal, who are in obviously great Premier League form, as we've mentioned. For me, it was the right decision. Okay. Dan Burn had to come out of the team, and I'm a big Dan Burn admirer, but he just gets beat so easily. And like you say, people can just turn and get past him so easily. And for someone like Saka, who has got the pace, who was in form, we had to match him. And I say, look, I thought Tino did all right. I thought he was the best of a bad bunch yesterday in defence. I don't think he was brilliant by any stretch, but he had his moments. But I just felt that something had to be changed. I actually think five at the back would have been the right thing to do yesterday. And I said that a couple of times, but
I think we were all expecting that.
Yeah, I think we were, but I just, in the back of my mind, I kept on saying, when has Eddie Howe ever gone five at the back? I said, even when we had like Kieran Clark and Federico Fernandez against Man City, he was still playing four at the back. Like he wasn't, he basically said, look, I'm not doing that unless it's something I think that'll win us the game. So I don't think he wanted to give that level of respect to Arsenal, which I admire in a way, but I don't disagree with Tino starting. I just thought the biggest issue was the midfield, and I think Ben's talked about brilliantly about it. But it just feels like our midfield is just so close. Mm. One pass, that's it. They're all out of the game, and it comes straight to our defence. And we're like, okay, let's see what happens. But yeah, in terms of the actual question, Charlton, though, Tino had to start, and I think he has to continue to start playing games with Blackburn being next.
The weirdest thing about the Tino situation is that we don't know much about him defensively, do we? Because he's always come off the bench when we need a goal. He's been brought on as an attacking fullback, or even been played like right wing or right forward. Like, it's just, we don't know whether he's a better defender than Dan Burn, really. We know that he's quicker and probably a bit more mobile. But yeah, it was a weird one to bring him into a game where he's going to have to do loads of defending, and he's not really going to be an outlet, because we're never going to get our fullbacks past the halfway line in this game. You're right, I think he did fine. He got done by Saka. Dan Burn managed to get us a clean sheet up against Saka last year, but he also got done a couple of times and just didn't score. The weirdest thing to do now would be just to switch back. If you're going to do it for a few games, see how that gets you, and we don't know if that's going to happen, but I totally agree, Johnny, really. When we talk about the defence and the back four, which includes Dan Burn from last season, that was the best defence in the league, It's we're probably oversimplifying the defence as a whole, because if you keep a clean sheet, you keep a clean sheet as a team. It's just as important that the midfield did their jobs and the front three did their jobs. And last season was all about winning the ball much higher up the pitch, and as the defence was playing 20 yards higher than it has been for the majority of the season. So that back four suddenly looks like the worst defence in the league. I think we've conceded like the fifth most or sixth most in the league now, which is shocking. And I know Botman and...
We've conceded more than any other side apart from Forest and...
bottom three, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, the bottom three.
And the bottom three, yeah. So fifth or sixth. Thanks, man.
We're fifth in something.
So because the other areas of the pitch aren't working as well, we suddenly don't have a good defence, and it's the same players. And yeah, all right, Cher's a year older, Burns a year older, and Botman, with an injury this season, just doesn't look the same player. And I guess someone might talk about him because of the real concerns I have on Botman, actually. But that midfield in front of them, and I thought this was one of Longstaff's worst games, but as a three, and we've talked about this for weeks and weeks and weeks, how they don't really make tackles. Bruno can't make tackles. But they're just not physical. Miley is great, and he looks like a real breath of fresh air on the ball, and has some great confidence to make passes and do things. But he's so small, he's not physical. You know, even Elliot Anderson, who started the season looking like John Cena, he'd really bulked up, and he would probably offer us a little bit more in terms of physicality in the absence of Joe Linton, who we miss dearly. But I can't believe that after 6 weeks of this, that Longstaff and Miley still don't make tackles. Still, I mean, Miley made a couple, but
yeah,
you know, we didn't make any fouls. And yeah, Longstaff's looking worse and worse each week. And everyone knows how much I love him as a player, and I think he's offered us a lot. But when he's starting every game and he's got no danger of being subbed off, we're not getting the best out of him. So the fact that Willock's back and he's got someone breathing down his neck again potentially is probably a good thing for Longstaff. I think he needs a bit of a break from the team. We are saying that, you know, one game a week, fatigue shouldn't be an issue anymore, but that three midfield has played every single game since, I don't know, mid-December pretty much. That does even just in terms of if things aren't working, you've got to change it, but we haven't been able to change it. We've just had to go and line up the exact same way each time. It was really easy for Arsenal to prepare for. I think they knew exactly what they were going to get out of our midfield, that they were going to sit in that kind of line in front of the defence, because, you know, before Christmas, the gap was too big. After Christmas, they're so deep that the midfield just have the run of the park up to pretty much the last 25 yards. So it was so easy to play against in that sense. But yeah, the performances we were getting out of Longstaff last season were totally different, because he had other players around him and we were playing so much higher up the pitch that him harrying players and closing down and doing stuff on the halfway line or higher was perfect. It was what we needed. Whereas Longstaff in front of your own box, where you then need also the quality to get us forward, and the amount of times he got the ball and just passed it out of play or passed it to nobody. And I'm not trying to get at him. I'm just saying it doesn't work in these games, and it doesn't work when we're playing the way we are and when we're kind of lacking confidence and not getting out of our own team. So I'm...
You're getting in there early with the long stuff.
I know. I think the problems we have defensively are just as much about what's happening in front of the defence as it is the actual personnel in defence.
I agree. And I think it's very big of you to, Si, because Si obviously is a long stuff evangelist, to kind of bring that up. And I did want to talk about long stuff, and I do want to talk about the defence. So long stuff is ticked, but I'm going to take it back because, yes, you are right. It's a whole team sport, and it's also what's behind the defence. We have Dubravka and Karius. Karius played yesterday.
The equipment season's not great.
It's not the best. You don't create cohesion, all of that stuff. I didn't think Karius was bad yesterday. I actually thought he made some really good saves, but Arsenal are just very good, very, very attack-minded team. But I do want to talk about Sven Botman. I think we have to talk about Sven Botman, because yesterday, for a few games now, he's looked slightly off the pace. He's probably about a yard off where he was this time last season. There are rumours that the ACL injury that he got then played on for two games, which is insane, that there were rumours all over the place that there was a bit of a rift. Some people in the club saying this guy needs surgery, and some people in the club saying absolutely not. We can rest it. It's not a tear, so it's not, you know, rest or fix it. And it took ages for him to come back. And obviously, Lascelles came in and Cher and Lascelles managed okay in his absence. But he has come back, and he is not the player that he was last season. His confidence looks all over the place. It's not just the physical presence. It's like mentally, he's not making the right decisions on the pitch. He's making bad passes. Yesterday, that first goal, that own, which is attributed to Sven Botman, the own goal, if you watch it, Karius does make a save. They're all kind of clustered around the goal. He does try to clear it. I understand he's not trying to score the goal, but if it was just let go, we'd have been able to clear it slightly further ahead of the goal. But instead, it goes off his knee into the goal. And then after that, it just felt like he was just all over the place for me. I don't know what the answer is. I don't think the answer is starting Lascelles ahead of Botman, because Botman's still technically a better footballer than Lascelles. But he was a nightmare yesterday, and I've got to attribute it to not being fully fit. That's the only thing in my head. I can't believe that a world class footballer is suddenly a bit shit. Like, it doesn't just happen like that.
Not going to me either.
Players are like have bad games, aren't they? I mean, let's be pragmatic about it. I suppose the issue is, I guess it is the team. As you said, the team makeup will have a big impact on certain players. I mean, if you look at, we've already said that there's no press from the front three, so the midfield can't get into that press and kind of get involved. And that's kind of a dual thing in terms of the front three can't press if the midfield aren't there. Obviously, as a result, then the defence can't push up. And then, as you say, you've got your third keeper who... They're probably like, how the fuck, like, we don't know what he's going to do. Like, does he play sweeper? I mean, Dubravka doesn't, we know that. Yeah. So it took them a little bit to kind of get used to the fact that he isn't going to come and get the balls that go in behind them. So I think it's just all this upheaval in terms of we were so good last season because we had a set team. We had Nick Pope that literally any ball over the top in our half, he would come for. Mm-hmm. Like, it worked most times. Mm. A couple of instances where it didn't. We won't talk about them. Still have nightmares over them. But... you knew what you were getting, so there was confidence there in that you didn't have to deal with certain things, and I think that's where Shaw and Botman aren't the quickest, but they knew with Pope that anything over the top, Pope is probably going to get there and kind of, it just takes a bit of weight off them and it gives them the confidence that they pretty much just have to almost like kind of concentrate on looking forward. So I think in terms of Botman's ability on the ball and things like that, there's a few elements to it. Obviously, he needs people to pass to, and when you've got people that are hiding behind players or don't want the ball or just can't get the space because the other team are just up for it more. Again, that it looked bad on Botman and Shaw. I think it was the worst they looked for a while, but it wasn't. I don't think it was just down to them having bad games. I just think what were they expected to do? There was a couple of times I think they were trying to play it out and Carragher was like, fuck this, and just launched it and give the ball back to Arsenal, but it was probably the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And I just don't think there was enough players kind of... So some of the balls that we lost in our own third, you're just like, what did you think was going to happen there? But obviously they've been told we need to try and play out this way, and I think that they're trying to kind of gain their own confidence, but I just think it comes down to we just don't have the personnel with the ability to play like that. And that, again, I suppose goes back to the how thing for me is that it just seems madness to keep trying to play this type of football when we're not been able to do it against Forest, Bournemouth and Luton at home. So are we really going to go and try and do that to Arsenal at the Emirates? It's just, yeah, it doesn't make sense to me when we've seen a struggle with it. And yes, I think the other thing is, I suppose, is that you would have thought we'd be getting a bit better at it, at least. We've been told that now we haven't got the two games a week, they're able to do training, they're able to work on these things. But we're just not seeing improvements in the things that I thought we should do. And it comes back to your point about surely by now Longstaff and Miley at least be putting some tackles in or been told to kind of get stuck in whatever. And we're just not seeing it. So, yeah, it's a frustrating period. Maybe it's just not that game and they can't do it, fine. But I suppose the one shining light is that we do have players come back. So Willock obviously is massive. We just need to pray that Bruno kind of can continue getting through these games and just hope someone else can come back in the midfield. But yeah, it's a tough watch at the minute, isn't it?
I think the biggest thing with Botman is that his biggest or his best attribute rather is the reading of the game.
Right.
He's one step ahead or two steps ahead depending on who he's playing against. And yesterday he was two steps behind.
Yeah, this is exactly it. And Ted didn't look at it.
No, it really didn't. And look, I know Tino gets done for the third goal, but Botman makes a pass. Who I don't know where he's passing it to. No one wants the ball, but he just goes, I'm going to pass it anyway. And that's where Arsenal get their joy. And obviously that's where Saka gets the goal. I think there's more to it that meets the eye with this particular injury. And I'm really, really disappointed because that should have been sorted a long time ago. Now, whoever's made that decision, only... I think it almost comes out of the players. I don't think the players should really ultimately make that decision. If you've got people that are paid to do this particular sort of work, whoever's the most experienced or the head of that department, I know that person's not there anymore, but they've got to make that decision. And if they think surgery's the right decision, whether we like that or not, if they believe with all the information they've got to go with that decision. And I think that whether that's the right or wrong decision, we'll know in the summer, because he's going to keep on playing until the summer, yeah, unless an injury gets that bad.
We'll have to leave it there for part two. Plenty more of this kind of analysis on our review show on Patreon. Please do join us there. It's between £3 and £8 a month. You also get this podcast ad-free at the lowest tier there. So if you really loathe listening to these adverts, you can join us on Patreon and they won't be there. We'll be back for part three to discuss kind of the reaction from the team, the management and the ownership, really.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Part three of the show, and we've kind of touched on it a little bit about Eddie Howe, like, what was the plan? How does he feel about it? And Eddie Howe is, of course, a master of masking any kind of truth about the players, about himself, about anything. So it's hard to say, but he did find it hard, I think, to mask his furiosity after the game, his face on the interviews post-match. Yeah, it's a weird. I've made it a weird. His face in the post-match interviews belied a very, very angry man. He looked very frustrated. He said mentally we weren't there. He didn't really know what was going on. He talked about the halftime team talk, that he, you know, he has to strike a balance in the halftime team talk, not just to slag them all off and be like, what the fuck was that? But also, you know, give them the instruction for the second half. And obviously we came out in the second half slightly better, certainly able to press a little bit more even without any changes, which just pisses me off even more because we could have done that from the outset with that set of players. But I guess, Si, I'll come to you. Kind of what would have pleased you? What brings, you know, these press conferences frustrate people, I think, because so little is actually said. Was there anything that he could have come out and said that would have made that okay?
I mean, I think we've known Eddie Howe long enough now to know that he's never really going to say anything worth reacting to in his press conferences. Yeah, he was a bit more emotional, I would say, yesterday, and rightly so, because the performance was poor. And as we've discussed, it was more about the intensity and desire than it was about tactical awareness or the way we played. It was more just they wanted it more. I try not to get tied up in anything he says. It's far more important what he says to the players, and what he says to the players is behind closed doors. And as long as those conversations are direct and address problems, then that's fine. It is getting more and more frustrating, and you know, the reaction from the club to these games of well, you know, it's fine. We'll move on and we'll get past this and we'll come back stronger. Probably the right attitude to have, because we've got a chance to make up for this in 2 days' time against Blackburn in the Cup. We've got in the quarterfinals, and then we've got Wolves at home next week. If we win that game, this game will be quickly forgotten, I hope. We don't want to dwell on it too long.
Arsenal fans will, of course, never forget it because they're freaks.
And I get his frustration because that's as bad as we've played. The first half was poor, and I hope they did get a bollocking of some description at halftime, because, it, you know, even if we didn't think we were set up right, the effort was shocking. Mm. It was shocking. But I don't want to get too carried away with losing to Arsenal. I think if you want to spin this into a positive, the rest of the season, we've played the top five away from home now. You know, that's there are no more games like this to worry about. The rest of the games, and, you know, we have to get back into some sort of form to win enough of these games. But I think this team, even with its issues this season, can and should win most of the games we have left, or at least more wins than defeats, enough to kind of keep us in the right part of the table to give the rest of the season a go. So in that sense, we can just sort of say we'll pick ourselves up, and to coin a phrase by a previous manager, dust ourselves up, roll our sleeves up, all those things. It's okay to say them, because I don't want to see our manager coming out and you know, hammering his own team. That's not the way we are at the moment. It's not, you know, the last manager was quick to throw anyone under the bus and blame everyone but himself. I think, and whilst Howe wasn't taking direct responsibility, I think he was basically admitting that wasn't good enough, and that, you know, I'm sure some people would be pleased he's done that. But looking forward, I think you have to have that attitude. There's no point in saying that was crap, where do we go from here? You can say that we weren't good enough, but we will fix it. And that's the attitude I hope they have. And they'll be presumably on the training ground today addressing things.
The problem I've got with that is that has been the message for the last few games. We wasn't good enough, but we'll fix it. When are you going to do that? Like, in the summer? Because if it keeps going this way, I think this has implications for our summer. It has implications for our players that are here and the players that we might want to bring in. I know that we were able to attract some really interesting talent when we were right at the bottom of the table, but we were also right at the bottom of, or top, or however you want to look at it, of a really exciting project. And you could sell the project. Well, we're 2 years into it now. And at what point does Bruno say, you know what? Like, lovely people, lovely city, but I want to play elite football, and this is not any more elite football.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think that's the problem, isn't it? I think that's why this has got a £100 million release clause, isn't it? So the club is essentially in a strong position with that. We need improvements and we need improvements quickly. I think the Blackburn game is actually the perfect game for that, because we'll go in there as favourites. We go in there wanting to get into the quarterfinals for competition, but apart from the one time under Steve Bruce and COVID, we haven't really done well in since probably the Bobby days, if we're being honest. So it is a game that you can just go in there, win the game, get a bit, obviously get a few smiles off people's faces, but ultimately it doesn't get any easier with the Premier League fixtures. It's Wolves and Chelsea next, and they're two teams that are kind of where we are right now. I think if Wolves win today against Sheffield United, they'll go above us. So it just tells you that's the sort of level where we're at right now. But I do feel that we've mentioned Joe Willock, him come back in, if he can get a run of games again, put a pressure on the likes of Longstaff, might even take Miley out of the equation, because a 17-year-old lad shouldn't be playing as many games as he has been doing. But I'm not saying there's pressure on Eddie Howe right now, but there will become a question tactically going, come on, we've given you a few games now. When are you going to sort this, and how long do we as fans give him? But he's got so much credit in the bank and he's done so well since he's been through the door. I just think this is the first time since he started being Newcastle United manager that you go, right, come on, prove to us you can get us out of this little rut, if you like.
I think, I mean, we've had kind of runs like this. I mean, remember last season when it was around this time that we hit a similar run in terms of, I think we went like 8 or 9 games without a win, didn't we? And it looked tough, and we turned that around and went on a ridiculous run at the end. So I know what you're saying, Johnny, and I think I don't think he needs to prove anything to it, because I think he has done it before. But I suppose the frustration is that why, like, how long is it going to take to kind of fix what's good?
That's
what
it.
Is it going to take, and are you able to fix it? I mean, ultimately, if it's just that we've got to wait till the good lads come back, then that's not great, because it's basically writing off the season. I mean, I think yesterday will have embarrassed him more than anything, and I think that's probably the frustration. And I hope they all feel embarrassed, because, as we say, that first 45 we just didn't look like a Premier League team. I mean, that was like watching an FA Cup game where it's like a minnow who's coming up against kind of one of the big teams. We just couldn't get near them. So I do hope the players kind of use this, and we've talked about a lack of aggression and various other things, but they need to kind of develop this, like, almost, I don't want to be embarrassed like that again. And I suppose for Howe, I mean, it'll not be a good look for his prospects as well. I mean, obviously, I don't think it's something any of the fans talk about, but there's a lot of talk in the media about he's just here for kind of this part of the project, and that they'll look to upgrade or whatever. Well, I think this is kind of where that question, you could make a point to that. I don't personally believe that, but playing devil's advocate, as I say, we've not laid a glove on any of the top teams in these away games, and that's where if we were going, I mean, last season we were going away to teams and at least kind of having a better go. Obviously, you said yourself, Si, we got that point last season. Yes, it wasn't pretty, but we fought for it.
Yeah,
we fought for it and got something from it, and we've just not been able to do that this season. So it's a tricky one. I think just quickly touching on kind of what you said as well about the prospects of players coming in. I mean, ultimately, we had the money then to kind
that's
of throw
true.
It there, and we don't really have it now. And that's another conversation for another podcast. But it does make things more difficult, because we're saying we need to upgrade all these players, but we haven't really got the finances to do it at this point. So it's going to be a huge summer. It'll be interesting to see what we're able to do. Obviously, we know, they've said it a million times now, we're going to have to see some people go. But it kind of does. It'll be interesting to see what they make up with the side. I think what we're seeing now is that there is some clear weak links in the squad, and it's whether we're able to kind of move them on and get suitable upgrades. So it'll be really interesting. Kind of ultimately, players are playing for their futures now,
yeah.
And I think that's the way it should always be. But more than ever, there's a few players now that need to start putting in some proper performances, and that was not it yesterday. So let's hope they take heed of that.
I mean, trying to reflect a bit more positively on the thing, against the same top five last season, we got 5 points. We've got 3 this season because we beat Villa. And Ben, you and I were there last year, and we got a hammer in that game. Like, swings and roundabouts in some respect. Like, some of these teams are much better this season. And actually, the top three this season is all streets ahead of the rest of the league, whereas last season it was far more open. There was a top two, I suppose. But in that sense, yeah, it's not the be-all, end-all. But I think... I just the Eddie Howe question and whether or not we can improve on it, we've spent most of the season talking about the mitigations, and I think they are still valid. We've spent this podcast now talking about the fact that we've got a third choice goalkeeper net, Sven Botman's not fully fit, and we've got a midfield who's had to play every game since the middle of December, and Alexander Vizak's just come back from injury again, you know, a one fit striker who couldn't complete 90 minutes. There are still, Anthony Gordon's played far too many minutes this season, and he continues to have to play not only every minute of the game, but in two positions. Like, we want the team to do better, and we want the team to be where they were last season, but we've had problems to face for every single game, and Eddie Howe has still got us in a respectable position in the league, I would say, and we're still doing okay in the Cups. And I think every time this question comes up, you've just got to remember, like, it's been a fucking brutal season, and all the things that have been thrown at us, and we're still doing okay. And yeah, we're probably not going to hit the form of last season. We're probably not going to finish as strong as we did last year and get like 8 wins out of 9 or whatever it was that got us in the Champions League. It's not going to happen because we haven't got the players or the momentum to do that. And we have to be okay with it because it's just been so unprecedented. And yes, there is an argument that the excuses are wearing thin, but the excuses are valid to an extent. And I think when these questions are being asked in the media, they're probably sitting in the training and going, oh, come on, lads. Like, it's been a really hard season for so many reasons. And we knew it was going to be hard. Daniel said at the start of the season, this is going to be a much harder season, and we all are preparing for that. And I hope that they appreciate it. And that there is work to do, but I'm positive in the fact that we're doing okay considering what we've had to deal with this season.
A little perspective to end the podcast there. I'm very, and from Si, we will leave it there. Still so much to talk about. Of course, we'll get a full review podcast out on our Patreon platform. Please do join us there. Thank you so much, Ben, Si, and I looked at you, but you're Si. Si, Ben, and Johnny for joining me this morning to talk about last night's game. We will be back after Blackburn, hopefully as we progress in the Cup. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. This podcast is brought to you by Aspers Casino Newcastle, home of the Mags £4 pint, available on all draft beers for all NUFC home and televised games, 12 p.m. to 12 a.m. Over 18s only. Visit begambleaware.org. Be drink aware. For details and T's and C's, visit aspersnewcastle.co.uk.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.